What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Hello, and thank you so much for listening to WBAI. This is WBAI.org, 99.5 FM, New York. And I'm Katie Halper. You may know me from the very creatively titled Katie Halper Show, which you can hear Wednesdays at 7 p.m. on WBAI. And also, make sure you come to the live shows that we do every second Wednesday of the month at the Brooklyn Commons at 7 p.m. They're always a great time. And we are doing some special coverage of the Women's March. And I'm here in the studio with, of course, I can't get into the studio without this guy, Reggie Johnson.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Reggie.
It's not a Wednesday. I'm not used to this.
I know. We're really shaking things up here.
Yeah, it really
is. I mean, you know what else we're not used to?
What is that?
Having Donald Trump as president.
Well, that's something that we just have to get used to, but
yeah,
you just don't have to submit to.
Right, exactly. Yeah, resist, so. The resistance. And Reggie, of course, is the engineer-in-chief, the EIC, as I call him. And I'm really excited to have with me live in studio also Karina Moreno, who is a professor of public administration at Long Island University, Brooklyn, a.k.a. LIU. Karina, thank you for coming.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. And Karina was at the Women's March, and she's going to give us some feedback
here
and report
in
back
New York.
Here in New York City. And Karina is also it's kind of interesting perspective, especially since we're talking about Donald Trump or the resistance to Donald Trump. Karina is a native of Monterrey, Mexico, and then she moved to Laredo. Do I say Laredo? Laredo? What do people say? Laredo, but no one says that.
Laredo.
Okay.
Yes.
Laredo, Texas.
South Texas.
And now she's a Brooklynite. And of course, as everyone remembers, Donald Trump kicked off his campaign, as we covered on the Katie Halper Show, much more comedically than we should have, because we really thought he was a joke at that point. I mean, he is a joke, but we thought he wasn't politically viable at that point. He, of course, started off by reminding the world of the Mexican affinity for rape that apparently exists. Criminals and rapists, right? We all remember this. He said Mexico's sending immigrants.
Not their best.
They're sending immigrants. They're sending rapists and criminals. And there's some people, good people, I assume, which was nice of him to assume. He really got woke there for a second. And so I thought it would be really interesting because Karina, in addition to just being a very smart academic who writes a lot about immigration and security, and is also a woman. Not that we totally, we of course have a complex relationship with identity politics here, which we'll get into later, but I thought she'd be a really perfect person to have talking to us. And also I want to tell listeners that you can call in at 347-336-0818. Is that 336? I need the glasses.
347-335-0818.
Okay, again, that's 347-335-0818. I need glasses. Okay. So again, as everyone probably,
that doesn't make you a bad person now.
It doesn't. Oh no, I was just reminding myself. Reggie,
well,
full disclosure, Reggie has glasses.
Yeah,
I wasn't being glasses phobic.
No.
Have you
no,
had them
I
for a long time? Like
yeah,
as a kid?
I had them a very long time. For most of my life.
Were you a kid with glasses?
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh,
I was
so
one
cute.
Of those
young,
yeah.
So cute.
I was one of those. Yeah, I was one of those people.
Did you also run with a backpack for like the train and the bus? One
yeah,
of the
I was I ran well enough to be on the track team.
Oh, you were track? Look at you.
Yeah.
You know who else did track?
Who?
Bernie.
Didn't.
Yeah. Of course. Got to bring up Bernie.
Well, that's why he had that stamina.
Exactly. And ran across the country. The hardest working man in political business for Hillary Clinton, too.
The oldest of the candidates was probably the most healthiest.
Yeah, he probably was. Yeah. And he ran all the, exactly. I mean, I didn't see him fainting. That was scary. Anyway. So, guys, we're taking your calls. But, Karina, tell us what the march was like. And why you came, why you went to the march. Why do you march? I march because I march for,
Well, this was a great opportunity to just, it's so simple. We are just going to start where we're at. And we basically just convened together here in the city. So I didn't make any drastic type of trip anywhere. I just rolled out of bed and went to Manhattan, right? I know a lot of people. I mean, what was the number in D.C. over
1.5 million?
Yeah. So anyway, so it was very simple. We convened. And this was a great opportunity for us to build alliances. One of the really interesting and really exciting things that I saw today is that, yes, it's a women's march, and it was called a women's march, and lots of things framed around women, but so many banners and posters about LGBT, about Muslims, about immigrants, about civil rights, about Black Lives Matter, about healthcare. So really an intersectional event.
Nice.
It was fantastic. Yes.
Finally, something intersectional.
Yes.
Nice.
So that's why I went, because it was something simple that we could do, and it's really necessary to start building these alliances with each other, framing our politics around basic morals. We all care about access to healthcare, education, and so forth, and this was just a great place to start.
And what was the most inspiring sign or thing that you saw, whether it was an exchange, a sign, a speech?
I mean, really, it was inspiring to see so many people. I was overwhelmed with the amount of people that were gathered there today. It was really, really impressive. But also just the energy. The energy was so high, so I was really impressed with that as well. And the signs, I mean, just looking at people's creativity, people's signs that were really funny. So, I mean, just the energy is high, and that's been...
Did you get emotional?
Yeah, of course. I felt really hopeful, actually. You know, it's the first day Trump is... Well, yeah, okay, first 24 hours that Trump is president, and we were all there outside in good spirits, and energy was high. Yes, we are completely aware of the situation that we're in. It's not that we're minimizing or anything, but... I'm hopeful because I realized I'm not alone. Yes, there are plenty of people here that care about immigrant rights and women's rights and all these other issues that, you know, sometimes you can feel a little bit isolated, feel a little bit like the political discourse is demoralizing. But being out there, I felt quite happy, actually.
Great. And again, we're taking your calls. Karina, will you do me a favor and read that number for me with your much more youthful eyes?
347-335-0818.
Okay, great. So that's 347-335-0118. Now, can you talk to us about your own
image? Katie, yeah. that number is actually 347-335-0818.
Did I say it wrong?
Yes, you did.
But I didn't.
0818. Sorry, I wrote it right.
No, she.
But I said it right.
She said it right.
Yeah. Blame the native American. Don't try to blame that on a Mexican. I know you listeners, you WBI listeners, are trying to scapegoat.
Thank
Karina.
You, Reggie.
Yeah. Native American.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said American, which is American. Different from native. That means I'm a non-native,
you
I'm white, basically.
You should
real.
Just continue on.
All right, fine.
Talking.
We do that. Yeah, white people do that in general.
Yeah.
Not a lot of accountability in general. So can you tell us about your own immigration experience?
So you mean that I came here undocumented? Okay. Well, yeah, I came here undocumented. I came here with the dream of like just being able to go to college in the U.S. I did my bachelor's and my master's in Laredo, Texas, at a university called Texas A&M International. I love them. They're great. It's a great experience. And from there, I was accepted into a PhD program at Rutgers University School of Public Affairs and did my PhD. And yeah, that's You're why
exactly what Donald Trump is warning us against. Right? Yet another. I don't know, what would he call you?
No crime and no rape.
No crime, no rape. How old were you when you became documented?
It was actually I was already in college that I got a green card. Immigration before. I mean, it was right after 9/11. So immigration has changed significantly since then. But basically, I petitioned an immigration judge in Texas to allow me to stay. I had high school grades. Basically, I spent a year in high school, and he basically took mercy on me and let me stay.
Awesome. Yeah. It shouldn't be a mercy question, but unfortunately it is. It should be a justice question, but we'll get to that later on.
I was under 18, so that really impacts whether you can stay or not.
It helps,
right?
You. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So we have our first caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello. My statement basically is it's unfortunate that Donald Trump is in the White House. However, this has to be treated like a political disease, and the disease is basically treated with antibiotics. The antibiotics will be the leaders in the community, and the leaders of the community are organizers of the community that can actually go to Trump Center and speak to him directly in regards to representing the people in the community that cannot speak for themselves. It's unfortunate that he is in the White House, but all the energy that we have, which is powerful, it has to be utilized properly in order to take care of this infestation of political unjust. So the best thing we can do as a community is to start organizing and getting someone to go to the Trump Center and to speak to him directly. He appears to be, based on the news, but however we can get in there to speak to him, it needs to be addressed in that way, you know. He cannot reach every individual with every problem, but we can somehow try to reach the political arena that he involves himself in. So that's my statement.
Great. Thank you so much. And it is really important. And, you know, I'm very grateful that you brought up the issue of how it's like a disease, because one of the things I find really scary is how people are, to continue the metaphor, and actually I've been talking about it this way, you know, we talk a lot on the Katie Halper Show about why Trump is president, what happened, and what we have to learn from his victory in order to be effective political organizers. And a lot of people will say, stop Monday morning quarterbacking, stop looking backwards, you know, how can you be talking about this at a time like this, stop relitigating the primary. And exactly, the analogy of the disease is so important because, look, we have a disease right now. We have a flare-up, right? Like, really bad case of Trumpitis. And I don't even want to say Trumpitis because that makes it seem like the disease is based only on Trump. And it's not. That's not right. What it is, right? Trump is a symptom of something else, let's say, right? And if we don't diagnose this disease correctly and how we got the disease and what this disease is, we can't treat it correctly, right? And then it gets exacerbated. Like, if we think of this as a lethal, potentially deadly disease, no doctor would say, oh, forget diagnosing it. Let's just go in there and treat it. I don't care about what disease it is, right? In fact, if you treat a disease incorrectly, if you misdiagnose a disease and you treat it incorrectly, what happens? The patient can die, right? Not to be too dramatic about it. But that's why I think this talk of dismissing the causes of how we got here, and not just the kind of things that happened in the country that made the population susceptible to Trumpism, but also the way the Democratic Party handled this election. And, you know, the Democrats are not learning the correct lessons at all. They are kind of doubling down. And so we need to keep talking about what happened until people finally acknowledge what happened. Because, again, this is not about Bernie would have won, which he would have. It's not about that. It's really about saying what happened, right? And if we don't learn the important takeaways from it, we are doomed to live under Trump and doomed to live under him maybe for two terms, and also to not be able to fight his agenda. So thank you for bringing that up.
Can I say something?
Sure.
One thing also to pay attention to, I agreed with everything you said except one thing. In order to treat a disease, you must find the cause and effect. Because in order to treat it, you need to know what the sources are. So they need politically to get on the underlying causes.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything politically, so that you can find the proper antibiotic, and the proper antibiotic would be everybody putting in their particular ingredient in all community, all walks of life, and just making this work. Because it's not like this is going to go anywhere and the rally is going to take care of it. What the rally is going to do is bring attention to the fact of how many people are disturbed by this. However,
right.
We must, as you say before, work together to take care of this political disease.
Right, because resistance. Oh, great analogy. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. The resistance, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, I think we agree on that we have to diagnose it and we have to get to the source of it.
And that's a great point.
Effect.
One of the things that also was mentioned today from a couple of organizers is that this is not a one-time thing. This is something, you know, we have to keep organizing and keep building on this, and we have to keep momentum and energy even when we're tired, even after we're exhausted and all of this. This is not some short-term strategy.
Right, exactly, yeah. And we have to be smart about how we're going to organize, right?
Right,
And identify
longevity,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And I'm actually, something I find really important to talk about is who we can reach and who we can't reach. And I think there's an interesting moment. I really do think there's an interesting a moment for real potential organizing and engagement of people who are. I think there are a lot of people who we don't think of as allies who we can reach as allies. And I'm not being Pollyanna-ish or delusional or naive about this. I think there's some people, it's a Venn diagram, right? We already have some people in our camp. Maybe an inappropriate word choice given that Trump is president, but we already have some people on our team. We have some people who are not on our team and will absolutely never join our team. And then we have a lot of people who aren't on our team, but I think we can bring into the fold. And I think it's our duty as organizers to do that. Thank you so much. Do we have another call or are we just going to, okay,
yet.
Not
just,
yet. Yeah.
Give them, once again, that number is 347-335-0818. Call in your opinions about what has happened today as well as the past couple of days.
Yeah. And Karina, tell me, if you will, about what your experience of Trump's campaign was like as someone who had been undocumented and what your experience is of his presidency. I mean, do you walk around in a state of anxiety that you didn't have before Trump? Or I don't mean to put words in your mouth because you may not, but...
I remember when he rode down the escalator to announce that he was running for president. I remember the speech, criminals and rapists. I mean, I know it's, you know, we joke about it, but the rhetoric, you know, some people will say, you know, we shouldn't be so concerned with manners or social etiquette, but actually I think discourse, and rhetoric is really important because it sort of, becomes this undercurrent in the way that we treat people and the way that we justify policy and different measures. I've felt that the Trump as president, I felt not to, again, this is, goes back into the whole debate on identity politics, but I think especially if you're Mexican or if you're Muslim, you feel this extra sense of insecurity where your citizenship is questioned and challenged, and just, you know, how American you are comes into play, and you become sort of like it becomes us and them, and we are the them, we are the other, and
right.
it's awful. It's an awful feeling. I don't know how to really explain that, and again, it's complicated because I'm a professor and I'm a woman and all these other things, so maybe people think I'm being a little sensational, but when I was undocumented, that's why I feel so awful. I feel so awful for all the people that are here undocumented in this country at this time, because when I was undocumented, actually, I didn't have, I had so much anxiety every day, this sort of like over, this little cloud hanging
right.
over you, so much shame about that. And it was not the political climate that we are in now.
So you're saying you can't even imagine.
I can't even imagine because the climate was so different when it was me. And so even though I felt incredibly shameful about that, There was nothing, there was no big threat on the table.
So you didn't feel the fear, maybe? Or right. Did you feel fear but not as much? Or
yeah, there was just nothing, there was no big threat in my face that I'd be deported right away. Or, right. You know, it was this sort of baggage that I carried everywhere that I knew I was undocumented. And you try to navigate the world the world as best you can. But it's become so much more of an issue. And right.
Which
so
is important
polarized.
Because we just think of fear, and it's fear is, of course, a very scary, no pun intended, thing. But you brought up the shame issue, which is also, you know, this is something to think about.
Right. People think, you know, this is immigration is an issue that is politicized, you know, over and over again, especially during election time. So people, maybe if they're not aware that you are undocumented, speak about undocumented people in a certain way. And so, yeah, you feel this incredible amount of shame about, you know, people consider me a lawbreaker, even though I came here because I wanted to go to college. And
you're criminally intellectual. Well, and we have another caller.
Yes.
Thank you.
Calling you on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I like to say there's a new song after Trump was elected. It's Trump in Charge.
Oh, like the Charles in Charge thing?
Yep.
I like it. You know what? That's a great idea.
Hi, Reggie.
Hey,
Trump,
how are you
the
doing?
Bronx here.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, Trump in charge of our days and our nights. Trump in charge of our wrongs and our rights.
You know what? You just inspired me. By next week, I'm not kidding, I'm going to have a cover version of that song, a parody. What's your name so I can thank you?
Todd.
Yeah, Todd from the Bronx.
Todd from the Bronx. Well, yeah. I actually did this week, and you can find it on, if you go to my Twitter, which is just KT Helps, that's letter K, letter T, H-A-L-P-S. We should actually link to it on WBI, but I did a cover video, a parody of Rihanna's song Stay, about Obama.
Oh, you want me to play that?
Oh, sure. We could do that. Yeah. We can play that at some point. Yeah. But I made the video. I filmed myself in a bathtub like Rihanna did. And I talk about Obama. And it's for people like, you know, us who aren't huge, who are disappointed in Obama, but also recognize that he has undeniable charm, swagger, appeal, but also that his policies are not as scary as Trump's. And we can talk about the role that Obama played in helping elect Trump, et cetera. But that's for another show. And yeah, thank you. We're going to do that.
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot. Trump in charge of our days and on the new prez in the neighborhood lives in New York, which
you,
isn't
you
that
may
understood.
Actually can get Scott Baio to.
Oh my God, you're right, Scott. I know you're listening to WBI. You love WBI. Yeah.
You know what the interesting thing about today was also that I want to say it wasn't about a person. It wasn't about. You know, specifically about Trump or Hillary or Bernie, or even about a party, really. It was about, okay, how do we address leadership? How do we address policy? We want funding for Planned Parenthood. We want equal rights. We want, you know, the gender pay gap, healthcare inclusion. I mean, all these, it really was posters about issues. Yes, some of them were really funny and they were specifically about Trump. But it was not so much a Trump protest.
Mm. It was what? What do you say it was then? It was a...
I mean, just none of this exclusionary, politically divisive, punitive measures that we keep, the rhetoric we keep hearing right. over and over, the repealing of Obamacare.
Right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Republicans. Thank you, Paul Ryan, for literally killing people.
I heard plenty of comments today about Paul Ryan. Yeah, yeah, people are not happy with him.
So you have blood on your hands, literally. I mean, I want people to know that. No, he does.
No, I'm not.
The pro-life. You are not pro-life, my friend, when you deny people health care. And I know we on the left think that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was insufficient, which it was.
It isn't perfect, but it
covered
but it's something.
A lot of people, yeah. And I just think that I don't know how Paul Ryan and all the Republicans can sleep at night. And something interesting that you reminded me of when you're talking about the rhetoric is I have to admit that I think a lot of people on the left think like, and I do think this, that Trump, not to his credit, but one of the good things about Trump is that he lays it out. The racism, the xenophobia, the scapegoating is so obvious that we can really rally around it and against it in a way that someone like Paul Ryan, he doesn't wear it on his sleeve, but he passes scary legislation, right? So he passes racist homophobic, sexist, misogynist, anti-worker, anti-people legislation. But the thing that we do have to remember is that it shouldn't be dismissed that Trump is contributing to an environment in which people do feel fearful in a way that they don't with, let's say, Paul Ryan. But I also don't want to dismiss Paul Ryan, right?
Of course,
like he's sneaky because he passes policy that harms people.
Right.
But we have to be kind of fighting both things, right?
Yeah.
We have
This is a professor in me that says, you know, some people will say, who cares about, you know, he's a clown, he's whatever, we can, it doesn't matter. But the professor in me actually thinks it does matter that we teach people how to conduct themselves in a professional, in a basic humane way, you know, and he's been so demeaning and vulgar.
Right. But we have to not get distracted in our organizing around, right? My fear is that we get
we're not following
Twitter that we keep our eye on that and our eye is not on the ball of the legislation, the policy changes, right? So we have to do both. And we have another caller.
You're on the air.
Hi, it's the car with City Watch calling in just to report some final comments from D.C. Was at the march today.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. So it was, I think probably people have been saying, it was way too many people than they had estimated, which was wonderful. And the overflow crowd made it so that the march that they had originally planned, the march route on Independence Avenue, that people the march couldn't proceed down that because people were actually standing in the street. So in the end, there were marches down all the streets in D.C., from what I could tell. They were going in different directions. You know, we walked around 10 different blocks, and marchers were going, you know, north on one block, east on another block, you know, south on another block. It was quite amazing, actually. And so it was great signs. You were talking about Paul Ryan, and I actually snapped a picture of marchers going down Pennsylvania Avenue, and there was a Paul Ryan sign right in the middle of all these signs, and it said, "Paul Ryan sucks too." So it was quite interesting. A lot of interesting signs.
Right, and we're actually thank you so much.
Sure,
and thanks for helping organize it.
Sure.
We're now going to call Linda Perry, who, of course, is from, does the news every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on WBI. Linda Perry is a great, great, great reporter. And she is was at the march in D.C., and she's on a bus right now on her way back. So we're going to be speaking to her shortly. And again, we're taking your calls as well at
347-335-0818.
Thank you very much. And then we're going to talk to Karina more about kind of the legal implications and policy implications of a Trump presidency and what he can actually do. I mean, of course, we don't really know, and we won't know until it happens, but we're going to talk about what can be done in terms of executive orders, in terms of DACA, sanctuary cities, detention centers.
So, Katie, we have. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, yes,
you.
We have Linda.
Linda Perry on
Linda,
the air right now.
Linda, thank you for talking to us. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Katie.
How are you?
So it was quite insane, I must say, today.
How so?
There were, you know, some of the estimates are that there were 500,000 men, women. Transgender people, all kinds of people,
children.
I am now on a bus coming back from D.C. And so it was just insane. I'm sure that there were more than 500,000 people because they're estimating that there were 480,000 metro cliques at one point this afternoon. So so it was so crowded, and it was very poorly or purposely orchestrated by the authorities there to try to stagger people, because people stayed all around D.C. and they had to come in on metros, and some of the metros didn't arrive on time at all. You know, they kept coming in. The march, the rally was supposed to begin at 10. The buses, the metros, it just would pause between stations. and people started coming in to the rally at about 11 and even at noon. So everything was getting late, and all of the streets were just totally filled. People were trying to get to bathrooms, and there were lines about a mile long just to get to the bathroom. But once people were at the rally, the energy was amazing.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things that I saw was a guy was selling the red hat, you know, the Make America Great Again hat.
Mm-hmm.
But it said WTF America on
nice.
It, and people were buying that.
Oh, nice.
And so that was kind of funny to just see at the beginning of it all. And and then, of course, there were all those beautiful pink kitty hats. I
the
guess
pink
we'll
hats.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yes.
Because we're not allowed to say the word. Yeah.
No, you cannot say the word, Linda.
I thought that Trump would normalize that word, like a feminist.
That's
yeah.
good that you say that, Reggie, because I was going to comment. I've never seen the word so much ever in my life.
I know. We can assume. We all know what it is, but we can't say it on air, unfortunately.
So it was very empowering for women to be there, and many women brought their children. I saw so many little children, and little seven-year-old girl Samira was wearing a sign that said "Future Policy Member."
Nice. Go Samira.
Another woman, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of little girls with feminist signs.
Yeah, a mother brought her five-year-old because she wants to protect reproductive rights for her children.
Mm.
And you know, there were the issues that were going on the day before in resistance to the Trump nomination. Inauguration, we're still continuing into today. You know, some of the same issues, people being so upset about the supposed repeal of Obamacare that's underway. A 26-year-old woman I talked to was so upset because she had just gone on it and she could no longer be on her parents' plan and was worried about her grandparents being thrown off of this who need it. And who have health conditions, you know. So there were various concerns, LGBT rights. People said they were marching for equality. They were marching to have a voice. They were marching for respect, for diversity, for integrity, and of course for reproductive rights. So there were so many reasons that people were marching. But basically, people were gaining energy from each other. And
right, yeah.
A young woman I'm sitting next to on the bus here who has some children said that she just loved and was so thought it was so awesome to hear Gloria Steinem. So, you know, that's the kind of feel of a lot of unity. It wasn't, as I think your guest was saying, or one of the callers was saying, you know, that it wasn't really an anti-Trump rally. You know, there was a lot of anti-Trump, but it was more of a unity rally, and it was mm-hmm. Here we are, and we're getting together, and we're going to fight for women's rights and for the rights of all people. And also what I noticed was it was the first time a lot of people were on these kind of marches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the first time that they felt political, and not just young women, but even older women who hadn't felt political before. Now they felt that there was a real need to get involved and to take action. So so that's a bit of, and some of the older women were just saying, you know, one woman, I kind of wrote down what she said. Let me see if I can find it again. She was this woman from Baltimore, and she said, one of the things she said was when the going gets tough, women get tougher. But what she was saying was, you know, she didn't expect to have to march again. She had marched 30 years ago. But other people said that this, who had marched before said, no, this is different because it wasn't the Constitution that was being violated before.
Mm.
So even though we're marching again, we're marching for different reasons. We're marching to counteract Trump and his administration and the people that he's put in power.
Mm.
So,
right.
So basically, here you have it, Katie.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. And Linda Perry, who does the news every weekday night at 6 p.m. on WBAI. That's WBAI.org.
Oh, one other thing,
oh, yeah.
Katie, you'll love. Women started shouting out, "Free Melania."
Hilarious. That's great. And it's something that's very important. I think actually we need to be, I think we could try to, Ivanka's not, we're not going to reach Ivanka. But I feel like Melania may be some kind of
Did
slave.
You see that dance?
Oh, my God. To
Did
my
you
way?
See? Oh, you saw.
That was so
Oh, bad. No. That was
Did
someone that was
CNN
screaming out for help.
On?
Exactly.
Did you see CNN carry on and that was down?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Like, there was nothing else going on in the world except for Melania and her gown.
Yeah, I know. that was
my
crazy.
All right,
you
guys.
Can't make this
see you
up.
Back in New York.
Okay, great. Okay. Thanks, Linda.
All right.
That was Linda Perry.
We also have on the line Janet Coleman, who is a producer of Cat Radio Cafe, went to the march in New York City, all right?
It's like, no, I did not. No? I am injured, and so I had to do my job of reporting on all of the media and all of my friends who were at all of the marches everywhere and tried to cull from their reports some of the information about this remarkable snowballing event, which I think is a real game changer, and I think is the final moment when the sleeping giant has risen. The women of the world, again, are back in town. So much so that I heard that there is now a shortage of pink wool.
Wow.
The pussycat hat.
Right. Yeah. We gotta go back.
She said pussycat, it's okay.
Yeah,
I can say that.
No. I was just saying the pink wool. I was just laughing at that.
Not a pink one. So, you know, the fact is here that this, the march, which is way, way larger than anyone, I think, expected, the proliferation of them in every city, in Rome, Paris, London, Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, they had a march in Antarctica. Well, they have a lot to complain about. They're losing their ice shelf.
Yeah.
Hundreds of cities in the United States have formed here. And this is an interesting, to me, political development. Because usually we go to a march and we count the numbers afterwards, and if it was 500,000 or a million people, we think, wow, we've got a movement. Well, we have a movement. Whether we expected it or planned it or arranged it or not, this happened spontaneously and it happened on a grassroots level. And I think every one of these communities or cities or towns, wherever a march was held, those people are going to have to step up to the plate and take some political action on the grassroots level. And let's face it, that's where this whole left wing failed until Bernie, hoisted the flag for it.
Yes.
So I think we really, by the way, St. Thomas's Church, I think on 53rd Street, played chimes out while the marchers passed by.
Nice.
Some of the little nice things that really happened. And Sean Spicer, the new press secretary for Trump, has already been on the air because they are in such denial about how crowded these marches were that they're already complaining that the camera angles were fixed and the press was fixed. And
well, they would know because they had to do that for the inauguration footage, right? To make it look like more people were there.
Well, they had at least, they had half. They're reporting that half of the people in Washington showed up yesterday for the inaugural.
Yeah,
it
wasn't
a thin
even,
crowd, a thin crowd.
Yeah, it was like barely at 200,000, right?
That's right. And they can't, that's the one thing he can't stand. He will have to say that the photos were fixed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be this shows that the Republicans and the Republican Party are in serious denial.
Right.
And we have to be in serious acceptance that we have a role to play here now, and it's going to be very important. And WBAI has got to rise to the occasion, and women flock around us. Everybody pay your checks, pay your dues. We got to have the sleeping giant belongs listening to us, so keep it going. Thank you so much, Katie, for taking this on, and all my sisters in at WBAI. It was a thrilling event.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And also, we want to thank Catherine Davis for coordinating today's programming.
Yeah, she was a
big... Thank
she
you
was
so much. Yeah, speaking of women organizing.
Yeah, big time. She
Bigly.
Rises,
bigly.
Well, she rises to the occasion on pretty often when it comes to events like this. And so kudos to Catherine Davis to her contributions and her ongoing fight and understanding of what struggle is all about.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Catherine. Karina, can you tell us about, as someone who studies immigration, what are the things that we need to look out for under Trump?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that Obama left this huge infrastructure in place, this whole machinery already ready. We've had massive deportations under Obama.
Right, the deporter-in-chief, correct?
Right, so it's unfortunate to have to hand that over to someone who ran a campaign on, a xenophobic campaign on that was very anti-immigrant. So yeah, he basically is inheriting a lot of power, you know, a lot of power to be able to criminalize immigrants that are here, undocumented, even if they're, you know, something that Obama did was able to do the DAPA and DACA programs through executive order. So if you are a minor, if you are underage, and you don't have any criminal history, then you're protected. But anyways, that's something to look out for. That I would predict is one of the first things to go under Trump, and that's really unfortunate. One of the things about these programs were to be able to give IDs or driver's license to people who are undocumented here, and like I said, so many of them being underage that don't even have any memories of ever living in Mexico or Guatemala or whatever country they're from. So that's something that I would be on the lookout for. Also, one of the last things Obama did was a close bid, big, huge contract to CCA, private prison company. Mm-hmm. And for family detention. So Obama awarded this $1 billion deal to CCA, and they've changed their name to Core Civic now, and they'll be running family detention centers where women can be detained with their children, and that's something that I'd be really, watching out for.
Mm. Yeah, could Obama have done stuff more to disempower Trump before leaving?
Well, I don't mean to sound so pessimistic, but I don't think so. As long as you have private prisons running these detention centers and lobbying millions of dollars to pass anti-immigration bills because they're going to get them more revenue and more profit, no, I don't think Obama could have done.
Interesting. Someone else?
We do have another caller on the line.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to give people a heads up about how their get down is as far as the social construct. They're going to use a high level of sorcery, okay, through the radio, the TV, or an internet. Mm. So we have to be real careful what we listen to and what we see.
See, you're saying that, and they're already intervening. The deep state is already trying to mute you on the radio.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
So billboards, TV, be careful what your children and your young adults watch and listen to, because their whole get down is their whole base is a sorcery.
Mm. Well, thank you.
I mean,
you're very welcome.
He makes a great point about propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. How do we, we're going to have to keep on top of that. It's going to be a lot of that. We already have a lot of that.
We always have. Yeah.
And Karina, what are you wearing, by the way? What's that, the flower on your neck?
It's the DSA rose.
Nice, I like it. That's making a big appearance. Democratic Socialism of America.
Democratic Socialists
of America. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Great. Their ranks swelled when Trump was elected.
Yes.
So thanks, Trump, for empowering the left.
Yeah, we had a big group.
Thanks, right wingers, for calling Obama a socialist and wasting, blowing your wad on such a non-socialist, wasting that on him, and also helping destigmatize the word, because young people, you know, and the majority of people who like Obama now don't think that that's as scary of a word.
And also the fact that they have just focused on this whole thing about socialists and all. I mean, Obama was quite possibly could have been their best friend.
Was their best friend. Right.
With so many things that were conservative minded that got passed through.
Right. You know, totally. So. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I always used to joke when people call Obama a socialist. I was like, if only. And the other thing that's interesting is, people, please. keep telling me that Bernie Sanders wasn't a Democrat. Do you realize, like, these people are so unintelligent. Just pitch your argument well. Like, do you really think you're going to reach a Bernie Sanders fan, many of which are very against the establishment and think the DNC is awful, by reminding us that he's not part of this two-party duopoly that brought us Trump? Thanks, guys. Come on. I want to offer free webinars for how to be a better shill for the neoliberal order, because you guys just aren't good at it.
Are you going to create a new website? Or are you going to create your own MoveOn.org?
Maybe I should. MoveOnForTheRight.org. I started...
Move Away.
Move Away, yeah.
Move Away.
Yeah, move. Get out the way. Any other callers? Or we actually have to wrap up. Wow, time flies when you're having fun talking about Trump. Again, we want to thank Catherine Davis for this wonderful program, for coordinating today's programming. And also Karina Moreno, who's... what are you on Twitter?
Kari in Brooklyn, K-A-R-Y in Brooklyn.
And I'm K-T Helps. That's letter K, letter T, H-A-L-P-S. You can catch me every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on WBI, 99.5 FM, WBI.org. We're going to sign off with my Rihanna cover about Obama. Thanks, guys.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.